Thank you, Norma, for drawing our hearts to heaven with the beauty of music. We'll begin our service with His Name is Wonderful, words on the back of the bulletin. Would you stand, please? Spirit of that song, let's have our opening prayer and we'll catch the next hymn after the prayer. Father in heaven, what a privilege it is to come together in the name of your Son, this wonderful Savior, this anointed Savior and Redeemer. We thank you for your people gathered in this name. Thank you for the beauty of the day. And thank you for the privilege of being your children. In Jesus' name, amen. If you'll now turn to hymn number 8 in the blue book, hymn number 8.
Thank you.
Oh, it's so good to see you and to hear you sing. Turn to your neighbor and give him a warm, hearty welcome. It's even better to hear and see you welcome each other. Our worship music this morning is another hymn. Would you like to stand? I think you can stand. 395 if you're unable, or that's fine. 395. This song, Here I Am, Lord. We sing the verse first, for which we do not have notes. But Norma does, and I think we'll all remember it. And then, if you recall, there's a space between the verse and the chorus. It's like three majors and a quarter note, for those of you who keep track of such things, between the verse and the chorus. Okay? I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry, all who dwell in dark and sin, my hand will save. I who made the stars of night, I will make their darkness bright.
Lord, I have heard you call. finest bread I will provide, till their hearts be satisfied. I will give my life to them. Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my
heart. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, people. Thanks, Darnell and Lori, for the song. Children's time.
Song, Hold Your People in My Heart. Hallelujah. Hey, guys, how you doing? Who, guy? One guy today. Where are the other guys today? Here they are. There's two guys and a gal. Anybody else coming down? And one more little guy. Hey, buddy, how you doing? Oh, good morning. Good morning to you. How are you all today? Well, I got a question you probably don't think about very much. Why do you eat?
So you get strong.
So you what? So you get strong? Yeah, that's good. Anybody else? Why do you eat? So you can live. Now you read my story, didn't you? So you can live. Good job. Yeah, you're right. Am I hungry? My stomach gets all grumbly and I'm tired. Sometimes I need to eat. It makes me feel better too. So food can help me feel better. Can't it make you feel better? Yeah. What do you like to eat? Besides candy. Pizza. Come on, besides candy, pizza? What kind of pizza? Cheese pizza? You don't like anchovies on your pizza? That's fish. You don't like a little fish on your pizza? No fish on your pizza? Oh my. Yeah. But we eat because it helps us get strong, doesn't it? Good strong muscles, bones, helps my mind think clearly, gives me a strong heart. I eat to keep me alive. That's what you said, right? I eat to keep me alive. Well, Jesus said something. Well, let me ask you a question first of all. Do you like bread? Do you like bread? What kind of bread do you eat? What kind of bread do you like to eat? Cinnamon bread. Ooh. With raisins? No? What kind of bread do you like to eat? Just bread? What kind of bread do you like to eat? Banana bread. Ooh. You ever had zucchini bread?
No.
Yeah, that's not very good, does it? Zucchini, yeah. Nobody likes zucchini bread. My wife had a bunch of zucchinis one year, and I had zucchini bread all summer, all winter. It's okay the first couple of loaves. What do you put on your bread? Butter?
Jam?
Jam?
Jelly?
Jelly? Peanut butter? Bologna? Cheese? Mustard? Mayonnaise? Pickles? Tomatoes? Anything else on your bread?
No.
Well, you know, Jesus made this interesting statement one time. He said, I am the bread of life. Do you think he's like a loaf of bread and you slice up and eat? Well, what does bread do? helps us to be strong and helps us to stay alive, doesn't it? So when Jesus is saying, I'm the bread of life, he's like comparing himself to what the bread does. Bread keeps you alive, but Jesus can what?
Keep you alive too.
That's right. Very good. But what do you think he means by that, keep you alive too? I am the bread of life. What is he talking about?
Food.
No, not food. Not, at least not physical food.
A sandwich?
A sandwich? A Jesus sandwich? Yes. He might be talking about inside of you. Jesus can keep you alive inside, can keep you feeling peaceful. Your heart, there you go, can make your heart feel right inside. When you're having a bad day, if you read your Bible and pray, Jesus can keep you at peace. Jesus can keep you calm. When things are difficult in your life, when things are hard, Jesus can comfort you. That's kind of what he means by the bread of life. I am here to be your comforter. I am here to be your peace. I am here to be your strength. I am here to be your friend. I want to walk with you and be with you and wherever you are in life and whatever you're doing. Isn't that kind of cool? Somebody says, I'm the bread of life. He means all of those things. Spiritually and eternally, he can do that for eternity. All like forever and ever. Amen. All forever and ever. Jesus being the bread of life. Isn't that cool? Yeah. So when you eat a piece of bread this week, eat a sandwich, think of Jesus as the bread of life and what that means for you. And if you're going through a difficult time or some struggles or whatever, think about Jesus being there with you, comforting you. Yeah, think about that. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for taking care of me. You are the bread of life, and you give me life. Amen. God bless. We'll see you later. Thank you for coming up.
Sure, if the ushers would come for the offering, and we'll have the prayer before the offering today. So come on up and we'll have a prayer. Let's pray. Father in heaven, you have given us so much. Everything we have or ever hope to be, we owe it all to you, all to you. And as we struggle with life, to get on in life and do our daily tasks, we also struggle to acknowledge you and to give of you, give to you of what you have given us. Accept these offerings this morning for the work of your church and as a token to you of our appreciation for all that you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. past few weeks, we've been having something called Scripture Sharing, and it is an invitation for those of us who have a favorite scripture to just share that with the church. We're not asking for a lot of commentary. You can do this from the pew if you're more comfortable doing it there. And it's just an invitation for you. If you have a favorite scripture, or if you're reading through the week or through the month and really notice something that really speaks to you, call Charlene and ask if you can read it. Otherwise, she's trying to contact people to do this. And it may be a favorite scripture of your mother or your grandmother or something that's been meaningful to you. So it's an invitation for you. And if you feel more comfortable having someone else read it, well, then you could ask someone else to read it for you, I suppose. I'll share with you. It's my turn today. And I've chosen Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Do we have any sharing or joy reports? The ushers have the microphone. Now we have Bonnie and Jax, I think, got something.
I guess you could call this a joy report. Kinzer ended up in the hospital Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday this week again. He had either a partial or a total bowel obstruction, and they did get everything going. He's still having some pain in his stomach, but that will go. So we are praising that he's out of the hospital and back at school and work.
What's the name again?
Kinzer.
Kinzer.
The guy that had the... he had his colon removed back in December.
The young man.
Mm-hmm. Joyce Holfer, my favorite scripture is 1 Peter 5:7, "Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you." And he truly does care for me. I have so many God moments, and I would not have them if he wouldn't care for me. And I thank him for that.
Thanks, Joyce.
I think Edie has something as well.
Edie Cheddar, just bringing you up to date on what we're doing as a search committee. I think our committee feels it's important that the congregation knows about our activities and where we're at in the process. So just wanted to catch you up a little bit. We have met 3 times, once a week for the last 3 weeks. We are completing the congregational profile document, which is quite a few pages of questions. We are about a little over halfway through, I think. We think 2 more sessions should do it. And this is a document that's provided by our conference, and we're grateful for that. But also, the conference has also provided us with a document of, it's called Mennonite Church Ministerial Leadership Information, 20 Pastoral Tasks. And you're going to be receiving them in your mailboxes today, or they're in there now, with a note explaining about them. We feel it's really important to have the input from you. We need your help. This is where you come in now in this process, and we'd like you to complete these. It's really important that you follow the instructions. They're circled on there. And this list contains 20 tasks that pastors do in their ministry. I'm sure they do more, but these are 20 that are listed. And what's important is we need to know what your preference is. What's important to you? And so they're going to be rated, ranked. And there are 3 categories. There's a low and a medium and a high. And if you read the instructions, you should be okay. But if you have questions, be sure to contact any of us on the committee. We'll be happy to help you with that. It's really important that you follow those instructions. You can only have 5 responses in the low category and 5 in the high category and 10 in the in-between category. And so if we find that your responses are not corresponding to that, we're going to not be able to use your questionnaire. So please take that to be a serious challenge to do that in the way that we need it to be done. And also, as you read these lessons, read these questions, you will notice that there is no pastor that can do all of this, do every one that's listed
Amen.
Here. And that's why and that's why we have to know what's the most important for you and try to work with that. Pastors, potential pastors, are also completing these same forms, and then we are matched in that way. And so, yeah, it's a good system. So please return these by March 15. That's 2 weeks from today. We're going to tabulate them the next day, probably, so it's very urgent that we get them in. We are going for April 1 deadline with all our documents to be submitting them to the conference. So thank you for your prayers, and keep on praying for us.
So two things. One, have it finished by March 15th, because it impacts then the work I'm doing with my committee, looking at policy and procedures and bylaws and job descriptions. Cole and I are working on the job description for the pastor, and this document is very important to that, to add into that part of our conversation. So please do get that done. What I have, though, this morning is a little more heavy of heart. Please keep Melvin and Emma in your prayers today. Melvin did have a bad night last night, and I saw him this morning. Emma said, please ask the congregation to pray for us. So I'm asking you to pray for them. He is now no longer sitting in his chair. He's in a bed, and he's on some more medication. So it's just a rough night for them, difficult time. So please keep them in your prayers. Amanda, are they still open to visits? I didn't ask about visitation. Probably check first.
Yeah, you probably want to check first. He's changed over the last week, and he's sleeping most of the time.
Right.
And I think we're all, unless something changes, anticipating these are the last days for him.
Yeah.
So Emma would really appreciate your prayers, but I don't know how well she'll sleep either in the days to come. So.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Yeah, he was awake this morning for the sunrise and sun, beautiful sun coming through the window. We had a nice little chat, but I think please contact family. I didn't say don't visit. I'm sure that Emma would appreciate a visit, but please contact family prior to going over there. All right, thank you.
This is Charlene, and I know we all believe in the power of prayer, and I want to invite you to a short prayer meeting this Wednesday again at 6:15. Anybody can come. It's not long, but I think it's important that our church prays together regularly, as well as Sunday morning here, and so I invite you to that.
Good morning. Jolene Thomas here. Just a bit of a prayer request and an update. This is in regards to Jaden. Believe it or not, he only has 1 week of class left. He is on a fast track in which they took an entire semester of classes and pushed it into 9 weeks. So he will be finished with his classwork on Friday, and then he will be moving to Redfield to work on an internship for the remainder of the school year and through the summer, then at which point he will return to Watertown for class. So just ask a quick prayer in his behalf as he transitions into this new part of his education and his safety, as he's going to be working for an ag organization, so he will be out in the field handling heavy machinery, chemicals, whatever. So thank you.
Oh, Amy.
Hi, this is Amy Hofer-Betch, and I just wanted to just let you know the progress of my eyesight. It's good. I can see. We're working on my figuring out the right prescription for both eyes to work together. So I'll probably be having readers, which is no big deal for me. But I want to thank you for thinking of me, and several of you have asked. So I just wanted to let you know we're on the upward bound. So thank you so much for your prayers and thoughts.
Forgive me standing out there. I'm not trying to hurry anyone. I can't hear up here. It's an echo, so. Shall we come before the Lord in prayer? Father in heaven, great King of heaven and earth, we come before you as your people. Honored to be your people, honored to be your people together. For you have blessed us in so many ways, with life and health, with family and friends, and with this congregation. And you have blessed us to live in a prosperous and advanced culture where what earlier would have been a miraculous healing can now take place. And where we have many comforts and freedoms. May we thank you most of all for your Son, Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith. And somehow you set before him a joy which we don't understand completely or even partially. We have a glimpse of it. But you set a joy before him that encouraged him to endure the cross, the shameful death on a cross, and to bear the sins of the world. Help us to keep our eyes on him, for you have set out before us a race, a journey, a time here on earth. And we are so often weighed down by sin. Father, not only the sin of disobeying you and doing things we shouldn't, but the sin of not doing things we should, of not running the race, of taking it easy. And we know that even in this prosperous society, perhaps especially in this prosperous society, there are many things to entangle us and to weigh us down. In addition to the burdens of life and the weariness of old age and the weariness of the young who bear the heat of the day and care for their families and try to earn a living in this world. Lord, we sometimes just don't think we can handle it. And don't think we're getting the job done. But help us to each do our part, where we can and how we can. And give us this endurance. Give us this endurance. Pray for our church as we search for a pastor. Help us to all be honest in our part in this. Help us to be patient, to persevere, to have endurance in this course marked out for us. And we pray that you would bring one alongside us to worship with us and to rejoice with us and to weep with us and to teach us from your word. We're mindful of our brother Melvin, a senior lifetime member of this congregation and many of his family, worship with us. We thank you for this strong man and the many years you've given him. And as his granddaughter shared, that he's in his last days. Father, give the family, and especially Emma and the family a strength during this time. Give them peace and comfort our dear brother in this difficult time. We thank you for our young Jaden Thomas, a strong, godly young man who's now off to a different part of the state. Thank you for his testimony, and for his sincerity, and pray that as he ventures into a new community for the spring and summer, that you would provide for him Christian fellowship, provide for him Christian companionship in a town where he probably doesn't know anyone. Be close to him, guard him, and keep him. Thank you for Amy and her eyesight and for patiently enduring the journey of healing, for her optimism, and for bringing her to us once again with her eyesight restored. And we pray that where she still struggles, you would give her patience and that you would give skill and insight to those who care for her. Thank you for this opportunity to meet in your name. And we pray for our pastor, strength and clarity as he shares your word with us. In Jesus' name, amen. We turn now to 475 in the blue book. If you'd stand, please. Sorry.
We come to us, the living bread, by which the Christian life is fed, renewed and greatly comforted.
Though the lucrative businessman, just really doing well, great business, making the money, raking in the dough, nice house, couple of cars, lovely wife, and a son, one child. And he wanted the best for his son like most fathers would. And his dream was to have his son become a part of the business. He just could see it, father and son in this business, and share with his son just the joy of the business and the lucrativeness of the business. And he was raising his son to do that. Taught him some business skills about accounting and relating to people. And son went through high school, began college. But then, in a business degree, but kind of got burned out and dropped out of college. To his father's dismay, he just couldn't believe he dropped out of college. Kind of got involved in a hippie group, grew his hair a little long, and got a little trouble occasionally, and got part-time jobs, and really wasn't doing much with his life. The father would call him up and say, how are you doing? Try to encourage him, and the son would call home, and every now and then the father would send a little money his way to kind of help him and move him along, and son, you know, you. And then there was a period of time where the father didn't hear from the son at all, maybe year and a half. Father kind of worried, what happened to my son? He just kind of dropped off the face of the earth. Didn't contact, don't know what he's doing. And one day he got this phone call, and it was his son. Dad, he said, the son said, you'll be so proud of me. I'm really in the dough, Dad, I'm really in the dough. And of course, the father was like surprised and excited. And son, what are you doing? Where are you at? And how's it going? What do you mean you're in the dough? And who are you working for? And what business are you? And the son paused and said, I'm getting really in the dough, Dad. I'm a baker for the Langendorf Bread Company. True story, embellished a bit. True story. I am a baker for the Langendorf Bread. The I am, with that predicate, I am, says something about who this boy, his attitude, his thoughts, his life, his adventure, his priorities. And whenever you hear that word, I am, it's like it opens up. Just listen when you're in conversation with people and they say, I am. Just listen to what follows that. It kind of opens up their heart and you get a glimpse of what's going on inside and who they are. Right? I am a Christian. I'm a devout man of God, follower of Christ. I am a Christian says that. I am Christian, right? I'm not Buddhist. I'm not Muslim. I'm not Hindu. I'm not Jain. I'm not a Sikh. I'm not whatever. I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Christ. It says something about who I am, about my character, about my intents, about some of my purpose. I am a husband to Catherine Fisher and Fisher for almost 50 years. It's part of who I am. I'm a father. I'm a grandfather. I'm a transitional pastor. Speaks to my purpose, my intent, and some of my identity as a person. So when Jesus uses the word I am, it's pretty important to listen. He's going to give us a glimpse into his character, into his mission, into his purpose, and what he's about. I am. And through this Lenten season, we're going to be looking at the I am statements of Jesus, starting with I am the bread of life. And every Sunday, Charlene, bless her heart, has agreed to have a different kind of display up here. And I think Mary helped, right? Have a different kind of display up here to relate to the I am of that day. Today's I am the bread of life. And in John 6 is where you find that. He says this. In fact, we'll come to this. John 6, he says. Then they say to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. In verse 48, he says, I am the bread of life. 51, I am the bread of life that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give him is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. I am the bread of life. Father, be with us these moments this morning and this time. Amen. So whenever Jesus makes these statements, it's like a self-proclamation, isn't it? He's telling us a bit about himself. And you'll find these I am statements in the Gospel of John, along with the discourse. John speaks a lot of discourses and conversations, and usually in those conversations, discourses, Jesus says, I am. Whereas Matthew and Mark and Luke are more parabolic. They're more of the parables are in those Gospels that relate to who Jesus and his story and his mission is all about. It's I am. And when we hear that, there's three things that usually happen in this. First is this declaration, I am. Okay? And then there's usually a predicate. There's something, I am, and he says, the bread of life. And then there's an explanation, I am the bread of life. Then there's usually an explanation what that means. And typically, in most of these I ams, there's a miracle or event or an action that happens. It's really cool if you kind of follow that pattern as we go through these things. And of course, the I am, some scholars, some theologians think that relates to Jesus and it goes back to Moses when Moses was in the wilderness and he encounters God, right? And God says, I want you to go back to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh to let my people go and go back and do that. And Moses said, well, how am I going to tell the Israelites who sent me? And he said, tell them I am, that I am, I am sent you. So it connects with God, and Jesus is saying, I am. So he's saying, I am the great I am. I am God. I am the great I am. Really profound if you think about it. Very profound. But he just makes it so simple. He makes it so simple. I am the bread of life. Bread there, it can be leavened bread, unleavened bread, can have a kind of a polyvalent kind of metaphorical symbol, or it can be of the real bread, it can be any kind of bread, it can be an oatmeal, it can be a grain, it can be any kind of bread. But I am the bread. I am the one who sustains you. It's very simple. I am the one who gives you life. And I was sitting down and looking at this text, I thought, wow. And so just follow me in the litany, in a list of things, and maybe your own life too. I got to thinking, well, what kind of breads did I eat? What is my journey with bread? Have you ever thought about your journey with bread? My wife's laughing. I grew up with white bread. Wonder Bread, it was called. And it wasn't very good for you, but that's what we had, white bread, okay? Every day after school, there was a loaf of white bread on the kitchen table with a jar of peanut butter. And when my mother remarried, from grape jelly to strawberry jelly, because that's what Leroy liked, strawberry jelly, my stepfather. Or bananas, peanut butter and bananas sandwich. You ever had that with a little mayo on it? Yeah. Yeah. Or on Saturdays, we'd often have fried bologna between that pieces of bread. We were a real country. But then I got married. And Kathy, being a good Swiss German first generation to this country, introduced me to breads that I just had never even experienced before, like rye bread or pumpernickel. Pumpernickel. Who eats pumpernickel? But my wife, and lox and bagels and all these other things that go on the bread. And so she kind of got me eating this multigrain, this wheat bread, and next day we're eating rye bread and pumpernickel. And it took quite a while for me to have rye bread for breakfast with a little jam on it, but I got used to it. And then I became a Mennonite, and Mennonites love to bake bread. Oh, so I tried that. My first loaf came out as hard as a rocket. You could use it as a paperweight. But then I baked a few, and oh, that aroma, you walk into the kitchen, it's just like, oh my, it is so nice. And then it comes fresh out of the oven, and you put a little butter on that, or oh, you don't even need anything, it's just delicious. Now with my sugar problems, I don't eat much bread at all, of course. It just turns to starch, and I don't need that. I got to think, well, what would have been the parallels in regards to how I've fed myself spiritually or emotionally or fed my heart? What kind of breads was I partaking of spiritually? And when I was a kid, I was a surfer. Oh my, I lived to ride the waves, but it wasn't just riding the waves that was important. If you've seen surfers on TV, you think it's very physical. But I was a surfer that was like a Zen or philosophical surfer. I could sit on the side of the beach on a cliff and just feel the embrace of the warmth of the wind and the sun and the evening sunset, and just reminisce about a day in which I was just one with the waves, one in the life of all of that energy. And it's amazing. You come down a wave and you get locked in, the waves coming over your head, and you're down in that curl, and you're just one with that. It's like in the womb of life. It's the energy. And that's what fed me for a long time as a kid. Just that desire, that's what gave me spiritual, nurtured my inner man. Of course, I got married and we moved away from the beach to Elkhart. But in college, it was different things. I got involved in Buddhism and some of the martial arts and other activities, all looking for that bread that would satisfy, that spiritual thing that would satisfy. And it wasn't until I met Christ, the bread of life, that not just I had salvation, but I found the one who could sustain me, minister to my heart, keep me strong, help me to be lifted up, forgive me of my sins, walk me through dark times. It was Christ who could sustain me. Got your own story in your head? Got your bread stories? Got your journey stories in your head? I hope you do. I want to invite you to write your stories down this weekend. And Jesus comes to a people. He's just done this great, marvelous miracle. He has provided these loaves for the people, miraculously. And that's all they can think about. They've got bread on their head. Physically, just bread, bread. They want to eat more food. Give us this bread that we won't have to go hungry again. Just like, you know, God gave man in the wilderness, give us this bread that we can feast upon. And Jesus says, you're kind of missing the point. I'm not here talking about the physical bread. Even the bread God gave in the wilderness didn't sustain the people and keep them alive forever. They still died. I am the bread that's come down, he says. I am the life. I have come. If you believe in me and you walk with me, you will never hunger again. You will never thirst again. I will give you eternal satisfaction. I will give you abundant life for goodness. He's telling them, change your mindset about physical bread. Change your religious mindset about the law and Moses and all of those teachings. And look to something new here, which is me. I am that bread. I am the only one who has come down from heaven. I am the only one that can sustain you. I am the only one that can give you eternal life and keep you going no matter what trials or struggles or situations that come your way. And I could say to you, the more we feast on him, his word, partake of his word, eat the living bread, the more we spend time with Jesus, it's like the stronger we get in our faith, the stronger we get in our spirit, man, the stronger we get in our heart. Even our minds are renewed because we've been walking with Jesus. When I was in college, I was an avid reader of The Hobbit and the trilogy. Did anybody read the trilogy? Nobody's read the trilogy? Token. Thank you. At least one reader, two readers. Thank you. Yeah. And I read that every summer when I was in college. It was a nice read. A lot of fun. Creative. But the elves made a bread called Lambus. L-A-M-B-U-S-A-S. Lambus bread. And it's supposed to be a cake of bread. People still make it today, by the way. A cake of bread that you could eat would sustain a man all day long. That a man could work hard all day long if he just ate that bread. And the more he depended on that bread, the greater, the stronger, the ability to sustain through life he would have. I thought, well, that's kind of like Christ. Christ is the bread. He will sustain us, feed us, nurture us, minister to us in whatever situation. We just need to feast on him, only feast on him. for whatever needs you might be having. So think about it. So let me just ask, what is your bread story? Good Mennonites probably got homemade bread, I'm sure. But what is your spiritual bread story? And are you still feasting on any of that bread today, spiritually speaking? How's that going for you? I can probably guarantee it's not very satisfying. If you're spiritually feeding yourself with anything but Jesus, you'll always end up empty. Never full. You'll always keep going back because it's only He's the one that can satisfy. Amen? Amen.
Closing hymn is number 472 in your blue hymn book, 472. If you'd stand. Son of man, and drink of his blood, and drink of his blood, you shall not have life with me, and I will. I will raise you. We'll have the words of a song for our benediction. Feeding on the husks around me till my strength was almost gone, longed my soul for something better, only still to hunger on. Poor was I, and sought for riches, something that would satisfy, but the dust that gathered round me only mocked my soul's sad cry. Well of water, ever springing bread of life, so rich and free, untold wealth that never faileth, my Redeemer is to me. May it be so among us.